Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1948 years ago this month, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. As the Jewish historian Josephus records it, during the days of the apostles, they were warned never again to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem or fortify their city. But during the 60s of the first century, while Rome experienced internal troubles, the Jews rebuilt their walls and fortified the city. In the year 66, the emperor Nero sent Gessius Florus and his legions to subdue the city. The Jews killed him and 5,000 of his men, angering Rome greatly. They sent Flavius Vespasianus with his legions to deal with the city. Vespasian and his troops moved on to Jerusalem until Vespasian was recalled to Rome, having been elected emperor. Titus, his son, took over as commander of Vespasian's men. At the time of the Passover, in the year of our Lord 70, about 1 million Jews were gathered in Jerusalem. During the next 5 months, Jerusalem was totally overcome and destroyed. In part, they destroyed themselves. There were three parties in the city, Josephus records, who were jealous of each other and did not trust one another. They destroyed one another's food supplies and homes. And so the Jews were their own worst enemies. Jerusalem was encircled by three strong walls. Finally, with great effort, at great expense, the Romans conquered wall after wall. Then they went after the temple. It was burned to the ground on August 10th in the year of our Lord 70. Then 900,000 Jews were killed, starved, or sold as slaves. Josephus records only about 100,000 of those Jews dwelling in Jerusalem and visiting for the Passover survived. Approaching Jerusalem, knowing of this impending destruction some 30 years before it happened, Jesus wept. That he wept demonstrates both Jesus' humanity and also his divinity. Only man can weep, can feel the gut-wrenching anguish that comes from knowing what is about to happen, but only God can know with certainty this impending destruction of the city. Jesus is completely and perfectly both human and divine, God and man. He foretells to the very detail, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. They will not leave one stone upon another within you because you did not know the time of your visitation. How Jerusalem would be razed almost 40 years before it happened, and yet it broke his heart. The Israelites were chosen by God, appointed by him to be the very people through whom the Messiah would come. Chosen as the Lord's own possession to be the people through whom he would reveal his mercy to all the nations. And yet, they did not know the time of their visitation, the time of the Messiah's arrival, God dwelling with his people. They persisted in sin and unbelief, knowing the physical destruction that awaited those who through unbelief and impenitence had unelected themselves, and knowing the eternal destruction that awaits those who through impenitence and unbelief depart from the faith, Jesus wept. Similar tears flow for those once Christians to whom God once delivered his gift of faith, yet who through intentional sin reject that faith. Dr. Luther writes, when holy people, still having and feeling original sin and daily repenting and striving against it, happen to fall into manifest sins, as David did, into murder, adultery, and blasphemy, then faith and the Holy Spirit have left them. The Holy Spirit does not permit sin to have dominion, to gain the upper hand, so that it can be carried out, but represses and restrains it from doing what it wants. If sin does what it wants, the Holy Spirit and faith are not present. For St. John says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, and he cannot keep on sinning. Woe to those who say, peace, peace, when there is no peace, who forget how to blush and remain unashamed, or worse, prideful of sin. Would that you, even you on this day, had known the things that make for peace. The Christian life is one of constant struggle and constant growth. If you ever quit struggling against your sins, you have ceased to be a Christian. If you ever quit growing in the Word of God, your faith is certainly withered and dead. Love does not coerce a response, nor bind you to it. You are free to leave, free to depart from faith and God. You are free to return to your old sins, your old life, which is really to return to death. But why? Why would you want to? Why will you die, O Israel, asks the Lord. As I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, he says through the prophet Ezekiel. And through Paul's letter to Timothy, he declares that God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So with a love that suffers itself to be rejected, Jesus wept. And yet, God used the rejection of the children of Israel, their seething hatred for Jesus and his word, to bring salvation to all men. The one overlooking Jerusalem before he enters into it is the one who was led out of Jerusalem, forced to carry his own instrument of torture and death. He who wept for Jerusalem is he who would cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The reason for Jesus' tears is that Jerusalem's destruction is unnecessary. Your destruction is unnecessary. Jesus was destroyed, sacked by the enemies of sin, death, and the devil when he surrendered his life to their armies in your place on the cross. For you, beloved, he lived, he wept, he died, he lives for you. Every sin has been paid for. Sin no longer damns, no longer alienates you from God. It is only unbelief that damns. It is true that men can reject their baptisms, but they cannot unbaptize themselves. They may reject faith, which is necessary to receive the benefits of holy baptism. They may rebel against the one who marked them with his triune name in the waters of baptism. They may incur the loving tears of Jesus the crucified. But it is also true that proud, stubborn men, recalcitrant to the core, like Peter and David can be brought back into God's grace. They can receive his gift of faith anew and live in the waters of baptism again. The day of your visitation is today. The things that make for peace are here. The gifts of God are as free as they are priceless. You did not earn the love of Jesus that led him to the cross. You did nothing to merit the faith and the forgiveness of sins delivered to you in holy baptism. He forgives you in holy absolution, not because of the accuracy or the perfection of your confession, but because of the perfection of his absolution. He feeds you with his body and blood in the supper, not because you deserve them, but because you need them. To struggle against your sinful flesh, to live this Christian life, is to remain where God fights for you, in his word and sacraments. You need only to be still. He who won the war fights for you. To grow in faith, to mature as a Christian, is nothing more than living in the repentance and the faith that he delivers every day to enable you to remain in his word. And that's not your work either. God grows you with his word. That's why it's so vitally important to be hearing his word. Not just every divine service, but every Bible class. And not just every Sunday, but every day as well. His word is the instrument by which he grows you in this Christian life and faith. His word is the means by which he still visits his people. So be fed and kept alive. Eat the body of Jesus and drink his blood. These do for you what you cannot do for yourself. They keep you a Christian. Receive his holy absolution. Hear the words that he sends his pastors to proclaim to you. This does for you what you cannot do for yourself. Forgives your sins. It is Jesus alone who is the instrument of peace, who alone gives peace, who alone works peace for you, between you and your Creator by shedding his blood. He is the thing that makes for peace. Here, in his service and his supper, is the peace with God for you. The time of his gracious visitation is today. The things that make for peace are here and now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.